calling in. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter number 5 this morning. We're glad that you're all here. We thank you for coming and worshiping with us at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We appreciate the visitors being here with us, and we're glad that you have given us an opportunity to get acquainted with you. We pray we'll be a blessing to you this morning, and we're thankful that we have an opportunity and a place to worship. We could be without the place or the ability to join ourselves together, or the liberty to come before the throne of God as a group, cooperative meetings such as this, and spend time in the Word of God. God has been good to us, and He's blessed us in such a way that we have a forever settled Word of God, and we can open it, learn from it, and use it to grow thereby, and to become more Christ-like, and to learn to love Him more than this old wicked world which we live in. Amen. We're glad that you're here. We're trusting that you'll have a good time worshiping with us this morning. And we've had a good week in the Lord. We had a wonderful service this Wednesday evening. And Thursday had a good crowd come out visiting. Yesterday we had another crowd that came out and went visiting with us. And we have some good visits out into our community. Be able to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and to invite them to the house of God, and to befriend them and let them know that Lock Haven Baptist Church does care for them. And so we had a good group this week, Thursday and Saturday. And I encourage you, anytime you have opportunity, to give somebody the chance to get to know the God that you love, the God that loves you, by sharing the gospel with them and inviting them to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And you'll be blessed by it, I promise you. And you certainly will. Luke chapter number 5. This morning we're going to start in verse 17 again. We've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. This is the 12th Sunday that we have been going through the book of Luke. And we're in Luke chapter number 5. We're going to start again at verse 17, and we'll read on down to the end of the chapter. When we get to verse 32, let's all read verse 32 together. The Bible says there in verse 17 of Luke chapter number 5, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, let him down through the tiling, which was with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Verse 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, There was a great company of publicans and of others that sit down with them. Verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 32 once again. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new make a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Verse 39, and no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now we started this year chapter a couple of weeks back, and we went over verses 17 down to verse number 21 last week, and began to look at how Jesus was there with a multitude. He had a great press around him, a multitude of people, and there was this helpless man of palsy that his friends was concerned about. And I'll tell you, helpers like this are rare. They're very far and few between to have somebody that's so concerned, so burdened about a person's a state of mind and state of being and state of eternity that they would go through such trouble to get this man to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they understand something, they understood something, that this man was helpless. And I'm telling you, there's sinners in this world. They're helpless without the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the helpers of Christ, we can help them in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're helpless, and I'll tell you, there's many problems that will get in our way, and there's a mound of hindrances that will come our way if we will let them. But I'm going to tell you, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we can get these folks to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and at least give them opportunity to make a choice. Not that we can make the choice for them, not that we have words that are of enticing fashion that will help them to make that choice, but the choice must come from within, but they've got to have opportunity. They've got to have the chance that you and I have to be able to know that they are a sinner before a holy and righteous God, that, hey, He came to seek and to save sinners, that they might have a chance to repent of their sins and trust by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and be born from above. I'm going to tell you, these here bunch of Pharisees and doctors in this passage, they was there to hinder, but there was four men that said, hey, we're going to be a help, and we're going to get this man to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did just that. There was a great crowd there. It was a sickness of palsy. Man couldn't walk. There was such a hindrance about the press. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him in verse number 20 and said, and I saw their faith. I saw their faith. What took place? Deliverance. What did verse Bible tell us there in verse 17, the latter part of verse 17? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm telling you, the Lord's power is here. The Lord's power is upon this earth. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as powerful today as it ever was. God's still in the saving business. He's still in the healing business. He still has a desire to see people delivered. We, the workers of the harvest is plenteous, it's ripe, it's ready. We have to be willing to go forth and to bring forth the harvest and lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. Look at the words of Christ here in verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, has authority. The Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. With authority spoke to him, and with authority gave a threefold command. Arise, take thy couch, and go into thy house. What took place? Look at this. Kids nowadays, it's amazing. Kids, adults alike, it's amazing. 35, 40-year-old men playing PlayStation. God help you. Throw that sucker out and get you a shovel and go dig a hole somewhere. Hey, Johnny! Hey, Johnny! Hey, Johnny! Johnny! Wait a minute. There's 15 seconds left. Johnny, get up off that couch and go get the garbage and take it out. Threefold command. Off the couch. Go get the garbage, take it out. Threefold command. Arise, take thy couch, go to thy house. People nowadays, they call it obedience if they do one of the three. If Johnny arises, he's obeyed. He's done his part. But that's not the whole command. The whole command was arise, take the garbage. You know what? Two parts of the command is not obedience. To arise and to take the garbage. I'm going to win. I'm beating it. I got it. Oh, you have not been obedient, dear friend. This man would not have been delivered from this palsy if it was not for complete obedience. Arise, take thy couch, and go to thy house. And what happened whenever he obeyed? What happened? Verse 25, the last two words. Glorifying God. Obedience in your life. Obedience in my life. Obedience to the Word of God brings glorification to God Almighty. It says to God, He loves me. Why? Because He keeps my commands. Listen, kids, there's no doubt in my mind that you really love your parents. There's really no doubt because I know you do. You wear the clothes they buy you. You eat the food they buy you. This ain't none of you run down and say, oh, no, Mom, thank you. I really appreciate them Levi's, but I'm going to buy my own clothes. Mom, that meal is wonderful. But you know, Mom, I'm going to cook tonight with some groceries that I bought. I'm going to go down here to Post. I'm going to buy these groceries. I know you love them because you eat, you sleep in their homes. Listen, you wear the clothes they buy. It's not a matter of knowing. You know how you prove your love? Obey and honor your parents. You know how we prove our love to God? We obey His commandments. That's how we prove and obey. This man was in a fix, dear friend. I'm talking a fix. He could not walk. He couldn't get himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had friends. He had helpers that got him there. And he was given a simple threefold command. Arise, take thy couch, and go to thy house. Isn't that amazing? Any part of that grievous? Any part of that, listen, it was helpful.
This man at this opportunity would be able to walk, not only walk, be able to carry his own bed. You remember? He couldn't get in. He had to be carried in. He had to be carried into the field. They had to open up the roof and lower him down. And with complete obedience to the command of God, the Bible says there in verse 25, and immediately he arose up. Immediately he arose up before them, took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Church, I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to bring glorification to God Almighty, we're going to have to be busy about the commandments that He left in the New Testament for the New Testament church. And part of that is reaching out into our community and being a help to those who are hindered by self, Satan, and sin. Getting them to the foot of the one that can help them. Listen, not a Baptist church, not a Baptist choir, not a Baptist preacher, but I'm going to tell you, the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, can help them. Amen. We've got to get out there. Right. We have to be busy. There's people in need all about us. Homes destroyed, and kids being in rebellion, families being torn apart by financial stress, and our country is blind to the fact that we're under attack of our ability to even serve God openly. I'm on every corner, everything. We have to be careful about mentioning the name of Jesus anymore. Are you kidding me? Be careful. There's no other name under heaven. Why not be careful about John? Why not be careful about Peter? Why not be careful about Isaiah or Ezekiel or any other ones named there? Why do we have to be careful? Why? Because there's only one name that saves, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not by accident that they don't want you praying in the name of Jesus. It's no accident, dear friend. It's on purpose. But the only way that I'm telling you that we're going to bring glorification to God is complete obedience. It's better to obey God than man. Amen. Complete obedience. I'm amazed at the hindrance of this here crowd. Who is he to think he can forgive sins? Who does he think he is in their mind? They're thinking this and pondered in their heart. Oh, dear friend, I'm going to tell you. Look at the authority that he had. What happened? He arose, took his bed, he walked out, and glorification to God. There's nothing more glorifying than for God to reach down to a person, man, boy, girl, or child, any human being, and they come to the Lord realizing they're a sinner before Him, that they've transgressed God's law, that they realize that their only way and only hope and only chance they have for eternity with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they admit with an open heart that they've sinned before God and they need Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they trust Him and Him alone, not water, not works, not the magnification of self, not the miracles, but they trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm going to tell you something, it brings glorification to God Almighty. You know what He said in Isaiah 53? Hey, I was pleased that you were transgressed. That's what the Bible says. I was pleased that you suffered for them. That's what He said. Hey, it brings glorification. What authority, dear friend. The authority of the Son of God, not only over sinners and to forgive sin, dear friend. He had a power to call men of wicked and low estates out to a greater and higher calling. That's what the Bible says in verse 27. Look at it in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting in the receipt of custom. Said unto him, follow me. My soul. Here's a man that was despised of all people. You know, I don't. If you realize this, Levi or Matthew is the same one throughout the Gospels, the same one. And being a publican, he was a man that sat at the table and he collected
taxes. He was one that garnished the people's money and the wealth, you know, got wealth, took their wealth, and you know, and for gain, you know, he was despised. He wasn't collecting it for the nation of Israel. He was collecting these taxes for Rome. They didn't like it. They'd come there to pay, and here he is, and the Lord comes to one of such low estate, someone that's hated, someone that was despised and looked upon as someone no doubtly was a thief. No doubt that was a thief, because we know that, at least by the testimony of Zacchaeus, the other little publican who climbed up the tree to see Jesus, when he came down, he gave back that which he had taken wrongfully. Hey, Zacchaeus wasn't the only one. They were all like, you know, birds of the same stripe fly together, whatever that old saying is. They run together, you know, there. So here's Levi sitting there at the seat of custom. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to him. He said, hey, follow me. Follow me. Verse 28. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Forsook all. Listen. Money, wealth, gain, authority from Rome. He wasn't authority of his own. He wasn't just somebody sitting on the side of the curb and said, hey, my name's Levi, give me some tax money. No. He had authority. There he was. Jesus comes by. Follow me. Why do you think that was? Why do you think that God Almighty, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, God Himself, rose in the flesh, would go to one of low, despised character and say, follow me? For you and I, dear friend. That we could know that, hey, it doesn't matter how deep you get sin, how far you think you're with God, or how wicked you think you are, God will reach down into your life and He'll save your soul and make you His. And he reached down into Levi's life and said, follow me. What a great call. Your friend, it's been extended to us. Take up thy cross and follow me. Follow me. Forsaking all, the Bible talks about there. As Peter just, he rose up, he left it, he put it aside and said, hey, listen, celebrate this thing. Celebrate. Why is this a moment of celebration? Because he had a new name written down in heaven. You know what he did? He put a big old feast together, according to the Bible there in verse number 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sit down with him. But there were, scribes and Pharisees. Isn't that amazing? Over here you got a man that's sick of the palsy, and prayer meeting going on, Bible preaching. Lord Jesus Christ is being thrown, pressed, and he's about to heal somebody, and scribes and Pharisees hinder. Here, he's over in the house of a publican, and who do we find? Scribes and Pharisees hinder once again. Here they go. What is this man? Who does he think he is? Why does he eat and drink with publicans and sinners? What is wrong with him? What's going on here? I'm going to tell you something. His work was simple. To call sinners to repentance. Proud, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees hated the publicans. I mean, they hate them. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like this public. I'm not like this sinner here. I'm going to tell you something. They do all they could do to try to separate Jesus from sinners. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. I'm amazed at the amount of people who think they don't need Jesus. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they distort the truth. They always trying to get gain for their own way and their own self. And they step upon another. They talk bad about others. And then when you ask them, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to tell you, pretty good people don't go to heaven.
Saved sinners by the grace of God go to heaven. Pretty good persons go to hell. Pretty good moral people wind up in a place called hell. A place where the devil and his angels are there. And it was created for them. Not for you and I. Sinners was sent a Savior that spent His time on the cross of Calvary. Went down into the grave. 3 days later rose again. That He might seek and to save you, dear friend. Don't throw this pretty good person up. Because there's none righteous. No, not one. None. There's evilness that lies within the body because of the sins of Adam, that the blood was transferred and transferred on down through time for all to see and come short of the Lord God. Who is this man to sit with sinners? And I'm going to tell you, if they couldn't separate Jesus from the sinners, you know what they did? They condemned Him right along with the sinners. If they couldn't get their way, you know what that dude does? Why y'all reaching out to those bus kids? Why do y'all reach out with them gospel tracts? What's wrong with you? Don't you know you don't need to be trying to reach people with the gospel this day and age? People got to come on their own. If they were coming on their own to reach the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, churches would be full. If they were coming on their own, churches would not try to entertain them to get them in. We have to go after them into the highways, to the hedges and byways, seeking those which need a Savior. Who is he to sit with sinners and publicans? Dear friends, praise God for sinners and publicans. Praise God that we're not sitting around in a church full of perfect people. We're sitting around in a church full of perfect people. We wouldn't have need of a Savior, would we? And we'd have Jesus on the outside knocking in, saying, "Hey, let me in and I'll come sup, because you people are blind and naked and don't even realize it." That's what He said about a church in the book of Revelation. Hey, thank God that we're sinners saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a whole bunch of folks around us that need Jesus. That need Jesus. And Jesus sitting there in the house. And said, you know what this tells me? You ain't going to make a difference in the lives of sinners until you get down to where they live. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get to where they are, and spend time with them that you might be able to show them the love and grace of God. You have to spend time with them. It's important that we do so. As soon as you do, hey, there's that church guy. He's spending time with them boys down there that cuss and chew the back and spit. He's down there. Listen, church is a good time for church fellowship. Amen. Where saved people come together, strengthen themselves, get fed from the Word of God. But when we go out them doors, dear friend, we need to be around and amongst sinners that we might be able to show them the love of God. Amen. And don't get all shocked when one of them says a dirty word. That's what sinners do. Ooh, Lord, he said that? God, help us. What in the world is he wearing? Don't he know that shirt talks about liquor? He probably drunk some right before you got there too. You go show them the love of the Lord God. You show them how much that Jesus cares for him. Let me tell you something. You let God get in his heart and change him, not some religious attitude. Amen. What are you doing sitting with sinners and publicans? God help him. Then they began to condemn him. Hey, Jesus, why are your disciples drinking? Why are they eating? My disciples. Well, my disciples, well, they fast often. And by the way, Jesus, John's disciples, they fast often. Well, Jesus said, what's wrong with you? The prayer room is present. What in the world would they be fasting now when I'm in the midst? There's coming a day when I won't be with them. There'll come a day when they will fast, they will pray, and we know it happened.
Jesus ascended in the book of Acts in the very beginning, and the angels looked around and said, "Hey, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing?" The same Jesus, which is going up yonder, is coming back. And you know what happened? 40 days prayer and fasting. Stepped out and began to preach the word of God, and people began to see their need for a Savior, and 3,000 souls come to know the Lord that day as their personal Savior. And not weeks, but months and on as it carried multitudes until churches were started around this entire world. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we have been given a commandment, and that commandment is to occupy until He comes. And that don't mean like Wall Street occupiers. That means to get busy. That means to stay out there on the forefront. That means to be sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means not to be a hindrance to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, when's the last time you took your tract and passed it out? When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus and their need for a Savior? They separated, tried to separate Jesus. They tried to condemn Him. And then they tried to bring division between John and Jesus. Then he goes on with another parable. Verse 36. "And he spake also a parable unto thee. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both will preserve. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he saith, the old is better than the new." Let me tell you something, dear friend. Jesus came for a work of regeneration, not reformation. He didn't come to reform Judaism. He came to seek and save sinners. He came to seek those which was lost. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, this parable teaches us that the old and the new, that Jesus did not come to just patch up. He didn't just come to fix up. He came to create a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm a little bothered by these folks who profess salvation and they still live the same way they did when they got saved. They come to get a fix, a patch, not a creation. They come to get a touch up, a brush up, but Jesus came to wash up with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to tell you, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things will pass away. All things become new. Well, preacher, let me tell you something. I know what I said with my lips, and I said it with my lips, and I know that I trust it's not with the lips, for with the lips men speak with enticing words and words of religion, but the heart is far from them. It's from the heart that makes a difference in a man's life and a woman's life. He didn't come, dear friend, I'll tell you, to reform you. Look at the reform schools around us. This prison system we have is foolish. Listen, you go to jail, dear friend, you should go there to work hard labor. Not to get you a doctorate degree. Not to get a Pell Grant. When you go to prison because you broke the law, you need to go there to work off your debt to society. Not to be reformed. You need to have a chain wrapped around your foot. Be out there on them highways until you clean up the highways. They weren't going to go back to jail. You got going to jail 5 times for the same thing. God help. You know who needs to be reformed? The judge who sentenced them 5 times. You take his robe off and hang it. He needs to get out there and rake some yard or something. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't come to reform nothing. He came, dear friend, to regenerate sinners. If you're lost this morning, you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, and you've been trying religion, patching up yourself and working good works and, you know, turning over new leaves. My wife brought me a tract yesterday from a church. Bless their heart. Spent good God-earned money on it. This was the whole gist of the tract. How's your New Year's resolution going? Need help climbing the mountain? Need help learning the language? Learn the language. Dear friend, you climb mountains. You can learn new languages. Paul spoke with many different languages. You know what he said? I counted as dumb. The very last thing, after four or five things, it said, if you want to know God, that should have been number one. It's all about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got a community around us who need to hear the message. Multitudes. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The hymns is coming. As the verse said there in the scripture, that the power to heal was present with me. We have no other message, dear friend, than that of Jesus. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the power of salvation is present. Not through words that we can present to you, but through the scripture and what the Bible says, that you can know that you have a home in heaven.